Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 210, after being closed for 11 months. Don't forget, Jazz Piano School has open enrollment period starting September 28th, Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern, closing Thursday, October 1st. All right, see you there.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork. Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 210. My name is Brendan Lowe. Thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for all your support. Clearly, hopefully you heard the intro, but again, I'm going to be saying this every week. I'm going to be saying it every single week. Open enrollment into our newly, highly developed, upgraded platform, Jazz Piano School 3.0, will be released on September 28th, Monday, September 28th at 6 a.m. Eastern on the dot, okay? And the way we do that is through an email, which provides you with a link to a page that that gives you all the information you need. So it's going to tell you about all the upgrades. It's going to tell you about the features. It's going to tell you about the benefits. It's going to tell you exactly what Jazz Piano School is going to do for you. It's going to tell you about our structured system. It's going to tell you about my story. It's going to tell you about the education that I have built and that I use to teach my students based on 99% of what other students use in the old traditional ways of jazz education and this new way that I have built and created for myself and that's currently helping thousands of students to learn jazz piano. So mark your calendars for that. It's a really, really exciting time. I'm super excited. I'm still grinding away here. Excuse me. Hold on one sec. I had a little tickle in my throat. I'm grinding away and I'm really still adding in lots of little details into the site right now, even as we speak. Little videos, little things here and there, color changes, content. It's going to be awesome. I'm really, really excited for this. Personally, I've been waiting so long. Since I started Jazz Piano School, the tech side of things has always been an issue. And if you want a great platform, unfortunately, coding and web development is not cheap. It's not cheap. Design's not cheap and coding's not cheap. And it's thousands of dollars, right? If you want a custom coded website, you guys are probably going to sleep on me right now, but I find this stuff really interesting. If you want a custom coded website, it costs literally like $50,000. Like, I don't have that money. I'm a musician. Like, yeah, I run a business, but like I do that more like for fun. And it, you know, it's like, it drives me crazy. Like if I had all the money in the world, I'd be able to do anything. I'd build the best freaking Jazz Piano School platform ever. And it would happen in a flash, right? But it's taken so long to get to this point, grinding, scraping, hustling, you know, saving money, putting it towards certain things. Where do I spend the money? How do I reinvest? And so finally, I'm super excited that we do have this amazing new platform, 3.0. And again, I closed the site down last year in October, and we're reopening it essentially in October. So it'll be about a full year we've been closed to literally scrap everything that we were doing before on this particular site where all the members were, and then rebuild from the ground up this completely new site based off of some new technology and education help. So I'm really, really excited, and it's going to be awesome. And I know it's going to help so many people out there. And again, after we do this, we're going to be able to really build from here and layer on top, because we'll have a stable foundation, going to more schools, going to more colleges, going to more high schools, more studios, more private teachers. All of that, you know, so that they can use the curriculum, use the information, use the structured system that I've created so that they can help their own students. I want to be like the catalyst that spreads this information out there. I don't want to just give education like to just, you know, like in a, I don't really know what I'm trying to say here, in like a, in a traditional way, you know, I want to be an innovator. I want to be a mover in the jazz education world. And that's why I'm so passionate about talking about this. Like, I don't want to just release courses on new voicings. Oh, get a course on voicings, like get a course on beginner. No, that's not what I'm about. Like, yes, we do that, but my vision is so much more than that. Like, so much bigger, you know? And sure, you know, there are companies like that and their websites and you can get great information, but I'm about giving you absolutely everything you need, the necessities, going big, getting into colleges, getting into schools, and really moving the needle on how jazz education is taught. Because I'm a true believer that the majority of education, jazz education you get out there is crap. Honestly, it's crap. It doesn't help you. And it's not well thought out. Now, of course, in anything, there's obviously amazing teachers. I've had some amazing teachers. I've seen some amazing teachers. But I think we as a community need to rethink how jazz is taught to you in order to go through a more structured process. Now, the reason I'm so passionate about this is because of my experiences, because of my journey, because I felt like I was pissed, excuse my language, I shouldn't be using the P word on here. I was upset, right? And I was bummed and disappointed constantly in my lessons, in schools, in band, with teachers. Like, I wasn't getting the information I needed, and I didn't feel like the teachers I had were really able to move the needle. There was a couple teachers in my journey that were really structured and organized and knew how to take my hand, no pun intended, lead me down a path that was bumping me up progressively and consistently. Like, each week, he knew exactly what the next step was for me in my journey, right? Have you ever been to a lesson, you show up and they go, what do you want to learn today? What do you want to learn today? And I'm just sitting there. I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, what do I want to learn today? What kind of question is that? It's like, you're the teacher. Like, your job is to teach me. You know what I mean? Like, that, can you imagine? Let me give you an analogy. That's like showing up, okay? Let's say you are practicing to become a surgeon. That's like going into an operating room and having someone laying there. You're about to perform surgery, and the surgeon goes, okay, so how do you want to approach this today? Excuse me, what? Like, I don't know anything about this. You need to teach me. Have you guys been in that position before? Because it's enraging. And obviously, you can hear the passion in my voice, and I feel for every single student out there, because I don't take music lightly, guys. I do not take music lightly. Music is a powerful tool, and it's people's dreams here. We're talking about people's dreams. Like, this was my dream. Like, music makes me feel different than anything else on this planet. Think about that for a second. It's literally, besides my family and my loved ones, it's one of the top things that's the most important thing to me in the world. It's gotten me through hard times, happy times, lost times, inspired times, motivated times, everything. Like, music is always there to touch and speak to me in a way that words will never do. There's sometimes when you just talking is, you can't talk anymore. You just, you know, like, you need to be moved by music and movement and things like that. No more words, right? So this was the most, I don't take music lightly. I don't take the dream of learning this craft lightly. And students who are looking and feel the same way that I do, I don't want you to go through that experience. Like, I don't want you to have to struggle for 15 plus years having these upsetting, disappointing experiences with teachers, with education, and it's still going on. My main mission is to change the educational perspective and approach to jazz and jazz piano, especially because obviously I'm a pianist. And so that's my goal with Jazz Piano School, and hopefully you feel the same way. I mean, the reason I go off on these passionate regurgitations of my mind is that I want to connect with people out there. Now, there's going to be some people that don't agree with me. That's fine. But the people who do agree with me are going to stick with me and learn that this new way that I'm showing and teaching and educating on inside of Jazz Piano School is the future. It is the new way of learning jazz education, right? The old ways of walking into a lesson, sitting down, watching your teacher play while you just watch them and then having him or her show you licks, right? And voicings and arrangements of tunes. And then you walk out of the lesson with no practice materials, not really any idea what was going on, not knowing what your next step is, not knowing where you are in your journey. That's all gone. Those days are over. I have news for you, right? We're literally in a movement, a massive movement of online education and higher learning, especially with COVID. Like when COVID happened, oh my God, it was so funny. Guys, don't worry. We're going to get to the lesson soon. Skip ahead if you don't want to listen to me. When COVID happened, right? And I saw all these educators, like, it felt like a tornado had come through. Oh my God, how do I go online? How do I teach online? I'm not talking about just music. I'm talking about every single, it's so funny because my girlfriend is a music teacher and she's teaching music online at high school level. And so it's just so funny. All these teachers were, oh, I don't know how to teaching online. What? Like, yes, online learning has been a thing for years. And it has forced people to get on the wagon. Like, the train's going, people. Okay, curriculum, structure, organization, online learning to reach thousands, millions of people all over the world. Like, yes, this is happening. Okay, learning that includes materials, resources, videos you can watch and play back, slow down. Okay, access to your teachers, access to your doctors, access to everybody online through appointments. This is the new way to learn, people. Like, your mind has to move forward into the times that we're in. We don't have to mail by horse anymore, okay? There's more effective ways to learn. There's more efficient ways to learn. There's better ways to learn. That's for every single thing in life today, in the present moment, 2020. And the coronavirus forced all these people to get out of their old habits, which I'm thankful for. It's forcing online education, or education, to move up. Like, to get better, to honestly grow, right? Like, you know, and it's forcing teachers to actually, like, really put thought into developing, because people can wing it, guys. Little do you know, I mean, you may know this or you may not, I'm sure a lot of you do, but when I'd show up to my lessons, we're not stupid. The student isn't stupid. You can tell if your teacher has a plan for you or not. And my question to you right now is, if you're taking lessons online or with a teacher, does your teacher have a plan? Does he know where you are right now in your journey? Remember, to get anywhere, you need to know where you are. Where are you right now at this point in your piano journey? Does he know where you are? On the roadmap, right? On the map. And does he know where you want to get to and how to take you there? Like, what's your next step to get you from point A to point B? What's your next step to get from point B to point C? What's your next step to get from point C to point D? Does your teacher know that? Now, if they don't know that, you can even ask them. I used to ask them because I was spending good money. I paid 70, 80 bucks an hour for my lessons. Can you believe that? For my lessons. I mean, like, and, you know, back in the day, that was so much money. This was, you know, 20, 15, 20 years ago, right? 80 bucks a lesson. I took 3 years of lessons, guys, once a week. If we take out holidays, let's say 50 weeks, after 3 years of lessons, that's 12 grand, $12,000 for a teacher that never gave me practice materials, never gave me videos. I never knew what to practice. He was showing and having me copy what he played. I learned three tunes. Now, I couldn't play these tunes any other way than the way he showed me. Think about that. Like, I went into music learning how to play jazz because I wanted to be able to spontaneously sit down and play music and express through my soul. That's what we all want to do. Like, I don't want to just play arrangements. I want to be able to do it myself, people, teachers. I want to be able to do it myself. I don't want to just read notated transcriptions. Now, not everyone wants that dream, right? But I think a lot of us do who are listening to this podcast. And so after 3 years of learning, I could play three tunes, Beautiful Love, Yesterday's, and If I Were a Bell. I'll never forget this. I'll never, ever, ever forget this. And even to this day, when I play those tunes, I have like PTSD because I still use the same things that he showed me sometimes. I always try not to, but they will come out instinctually because I only knew how to play those tunes based on the way he played them and showed me. Like, he had me copy his whole arrangement of how he would voice the things, play his improv lines, play his solo. I copied his whole arrangement, but I did not know how to play the tunes myself any other way, nor could I flip to a new tune and play any other tunes in a different way. Oh my God, it's infuriating, right? And so my goal, because of this experience, because of wasting over $10,000, $10,000, I'll tell you right now, open enrollment to Jazz Piano School is like not even half that. And even if it was, it would be worth it. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, the amount of value and knowledge in Jazz Piano School for what you're getting. I mean, it's a full college curriculum with so many fun, fantastic things now that we have in this upgraded platform. Like, it could be worth $10,000 easily. Like, I went to Jazz Piano School in college, and I didn't get half of this stuff, right? And that was hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it's so funny because people, you know, obviously they, you know, when they see certain prices, oh, it's $3,000. Oh, it's $4,000. Like, what? Like, that's not a lot. Like, sure, it's a lot of money, especially for some people based on your finances. But like, if you're investing in education towards a dream, like, people who go to college, think about the education you're getting. Like, college is no different than what you are doing online. Well, I mean, it is compared to some websites, but not compared to Jazz Piano School. I'll say that again. College is the same thing as what you're getting online in Jazz Piano School. Literally, I took all of my experience, the curriculums, the path, the success path, all the stages, all the education is built in a sequential process to lead you through. All of my, like, everything I've learned is put into there. Like, it is a full beast that leads people to success. That literally, if you follow it and go through the act, like, you're going to achieve your dream. You're going to achieve your Jazz Piano dream. And college is the same thing, yet college is like 50 times the amount Jazz Piano School is. Like, if there's anything you should invest in, it would be Jazz Piano School. It literally, instead of thinking, oh, I have to spend this money, you're saving thousands of dollars. Like, no one here can go to college, right, for Jazz Piano. I mean, some of you maybe. That's $150,000 to $200,000 these days, you know, in certain places. It's unbelievable. Now, at these colleges, obviously, they have very high-end professors, right? And so, again, same thing with, but you're not getting a lot of the resources, videos, practice materials, things like that. And also, you're saving a whole bunch of money. Like, it's just amazing to me. I mean, some educators, even in college, at the college level, like, aren't doing a great job. And now, I'm not ragging on teachers. Like, I don't want to rag on teachers because I know and I'm great friends with a lot of amazing, amazing, amazing educators out there. So they're amazing and I'm super thankful for them everywhere. But in general, the jazz education that I see is not up to the standard that I want it to be. And that's my mission. All right. So again, mark your calendars, guys, September 28th, Monday, 6 a.m. Go to jazzpianoschool.com. Click on the button on the homepage that says click here to learn more. Get on the waiting list. And that list, you will get all the details. You're going to get some trainings, some amazing trainings sent to you with some videos of me explaining about a lot of stuff, explaining about the system. Get some cool piano trainings as well about improvisation. It's going to be fantastic. And that's all going to be leading up to the release date. And so on that release date, if you get on the waiting list, you'll get an email sent to you with a link that says we're open, okay? This may not be your first rodeo for a lot of you. This is what we do when we release a new platform, a new upgrade. So you get a link, you go to that page, and then boom, it'll have all the details. Excuse me. It'll have a video of me talking, explaining, again, about jazz education, about Jazz Piano School, what's inside of it, what you're going to get, what it's going to do for you, all that good stuff, and obviously the price to become a member as well. Okay, there's going to be two options. Easy peasy. You pick A or you pick B. It's very, very easy. All right. And you'll be able to join and take use and make use of everything we have inside in our fabulous curriculum and all the work that myself and my team have put in to make Jazz Piano School absolutely, absolutely amazing. Make it the top number one jazz piano educating platform in the world. All right, so let's dive in to this lesson. Here we go. All right, so there's three different ways that I'm going to show you. There's chords. Okay. There's improv lines. And there's rhythms. Those are the three easiest ways that you can have passing movements or fill space, right? Now, the section I'm going to be using, okay, is going to be from Just Friends. All right, and so we're going to talk about all the different ways. Now, in Just Friends, right, you're sitting on one chord for a long time. One, two, three, four, two, two. One, two, three, four, two, two, three, four, right? You have two full bars, and that's exactly why I picked this, all right? So let's talk about chords for a second, and I'm going to go into detail on each of the three things. Even though they're three easy concepts, I'm going to lay out beginner, intermediate, and advanced ways to use each of these three concepts. So number one, chords. So there's a couple of things you can do here. So if you're just a beginner, right, you can just comp chords in any sort of way. Now, if you're playing the melody, let's say you're not playing the melody, and that's usually how I'm going to do this, but I'll kind of show both ways. If you're playing the melody, you can, a lot of people will get stuck trying to hold the melody and then do passing chords. Don't worry about it. Once you've played that melody, your ear hears it, so you can move off of it. So I can go and then move down to a chord, right? Maybe this or this. So I can go. See that? And so again, for beginners, what you want to do is you can just use some sort of inversion of a chord. A lot of people will be like, well, Brendan, you know, I'll tell them to play improv lines, play chords. And they'll be like, well, I don't know what chords to play. I don't know what improv lines to play. Okay. So here's exactly what the methods and tools and strategies you can use for these types of approaches. Okay. So for your chords, you can use inversions. You can do this. You can add the nine on top if you want. Right. So I'd go like this. I'm just playing root position here. So I go melody. See that? Now I'm just doing a very simple rhythm. One and two and. That's it. One and two and. One and two and. Right? See that? And that's it. And that's it. And you can do different inversions. I could do second inversion of my C major 7. I could do third inversion. I could make this a 13 if I want. Could add the 7 in there. It's completely up to you, depending upon your level, right? Beginners, obviously, you can use inversions. More advanced intermediate players, you can use rootless voicings. And again, more advanced players, you can start to go crazy. Put some extensions in there, right? Two-hand voicings with some more spreads. Right? I could do this, you know. Do this, right? 1, 5, 3, 13, 7, 9, sharp 11. Okay? That's one type of chordal approach. Just a simple voicing in your right hand or simple voicing, you know, with a bass note in your left hand. Just like this. Very simple approach. Now, if you're not playing the melody, then there's different types of ways you can do this too. You can use any sort of two-hand voicing. So let's say someone else plays the melody. I would do this. The bass player has the bass notes, right? So I'm playing kind of rootless voicing, like a fourth rootless voicing. Okay, and again, if you're a beginner, you can do rootless voicing here. You can do inversion here, an octave here. You can do this. Okay, so your inversion is here, your inversion of your chord. So this is a C major second inversion, and then I would just put any sort of octave on top. So that sounds great. You just use, pick any note from the C major scale. You can do this. You can do sharp 11. Right, now obviously if you're a more intermediate player, you can do rootless voicings in your left hand with some octaves and maybe a fifth. You can change up the interval. You can spread it out, right? 13, 9, sharp 11. 13 again, rootless voicing here. Okay, so these are passing chord options, right? Passing chord options, okay? The next thing I'm going to show you for a chordal approach is everybody wants to know drop twos, right? Drop twos, also called Bill Evans voicings because Bill Evans uses them a lot. I love all the names that people have for jazz stuff. It's funny. Anyway, here's a drop two. So if I take a rootless voicing, I'm going to take the second voice from the top and I'm going to drop it down to my left hand. Now, before I get into that, you can just use drop two by itself with some sort of rhythm. Right? Again, this is me playing in a group style. Okay, so someone has the melody and then I'm comping. So I'm using a drop two arrangement of a rootless voicing. See that? Now I can use a drop two arrangement of a inversion. It's probably not going to be the best because you get this here. Right? I could do this. I could do this. This sounds very nice, right? So you can use a drop two for any type of inversion, for rootless voicing, or for any just a root position chord, for an inversion of a root position chord, right? This is second inversion with drop two arrangement. Okay, now if you're playing the melody yourself, you want to have some sort of harmony when you hit that note, and then you're going to drop down to your drop two. You can add the bass note here too if you want. Okay, now I like to add some movement in. So after the melody, you can go down or up in drop twos. So I can do this. Whoops, sorry, I threw an inversion in there. Right, so I'm just moving up and down the inversions of my drop twos. See that? So I'd have this. And then I move down using my chords as passing chords, just in an inversion rhythm, right? So, and I can change the rhythm to be however I want. Right, now again, if you are the one playing the melody, you need to be conscious of when you need to get back to playing the melody. But if you're not, if you're just comping in a group, it doesn't matter. So someone else plays the melody, then you comp. Da-da-da-da-da. Right, you can comp however you want as the melody is being played. Okay, so this is more of a, this I like, and you can go up or down. So I like the down better. Okay, sorry, I'm doing the clicking thing with my thumb on the two and four. I like the down texture better as to me personally, but I also use both. It just sounds, it sounds nicer kind of to me. The next thing I want to show you, and again, you can do that further. Right, then you use drop twos for your C minor 7 voicing. Okay. Now over the minor part, there's some movements that people that are really classic in jazz, I guess, and these involve kind of the Barry Harris method with the drop twos stuff. And I'm not going to go into complete to all of that, but okay, if we take a C minor 7, essentially we can move up and down the C minor. Dorian scale-ish, again, with this diminished pattern. To explain this whole thing, I think we have this on a separate podcast, but definitely go to jazzpianoschool.com. I think you can find this whole strategy there. Okay, this is the Barry Harris stuff that everybody likes to learn and talk about, okay? So you have this passing diminished. Now, if you're using the half step approach into the sixth, okay, then you would use this diminished note here, okay, for the scale. So essentially you're taking a scale, and you're making that scale a chord. So on every chord tone, it would be this, the C minor 6. Every chord tone, you have a chord. You have just a standard C minor 6 chord. Now on every note in between, you have a diminished chord. So on the C chord, I have this. On the D chord, I have this diminished chord. On the E chord, I have a first inversion of my C minor 6. Now this is a passing tone to get us into the next chord. This is third inversion of my C minor 6. See how that works there? Okay, so I'm not going to go up and down this whole thing like you want to practice that. But the thing is, with your passing chords, so essentially if I take, you can use C minor 6, C minor 7, C minor major, right? What I like to do is a C minor 7. So if I take a drop 2, in this area right here, this register is really, really great. If I take a drop 2 here, I can move up and down. Using my drop 2s with the passing diminished. So here's my C minor 7 drop 2 in second inversion. D diminished drop 2, right? C minor 7 drop 2 in third inversion. Another diminished chord drop 2. Okay? And then again, C minor 7 root position here. So I'm just going to go up to there for now. Now the cool thing, you can use this method, these movements, to fill in, so you'd have this. Right? And you can go up. Now, you just going up quarter notes like that is kind of boring, so I might go, you could do off rhythms, like one and two, and da, 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 right? You could do that. And obviously you need space, and again, depending upon the melody, if you need to get back to the melody, you need to time this right. So you can do movements up and down using these. Now it takes a while to practice these to get used to them, right? Now the other thing you can do that's really cool, and a lot of people use it, is the surrounding diminished that resolves back in. So instead of going every other, you can skip. Right, you see that? When I add these little slides in with my left hand, instead of just doing this, check out the texture I can get. I'm going. Right? Sorry. Right? So I'd have my melody. Now here at the end, so I did this. This is drop two, just a regular drop two. Drop two again, and then to my F7. So I just threw on a dominant chord. I resolved the C minor to the F7. You see that? So here, sorry. So, and again, you can go up or down. Okay. Now this, guys, this is very, very advanced stuff. And again, I don't really like teaching like this, but you can work on this. There's a lot of different things you need to work on, but these are just giving you some ideas for passing movements with chords. So again, you can use, not like doing this roll here into my drop two. Do my little resolution here. C minor 7 into F7. This is 3, 7, 9, 5. You can make it short. It doesn't have to be long, right? Okay, now the next thing I want to talk about with chords is a really cool thing that you can do. Just outlining in thirds the chord. So if you're playing the melody, you can just outline the chord up and down as some sort of passing motion. You don't even need to move your hands. So again, if I'm here, I'm essentially playing a root position, or excuse me, rootless voicing in my right hand, 3, 5, 7, 9, and I have 1 and 7 here. These are just thirds. Third, 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 third. Right? And so 1, 2, pull it, 3, and. So a quarter note, a triplet, and two eighth notes. Right? You can do thirds, walking thirds. Right? It's a really, really cool thing. So again, that's on my C minor 7. So I'm going up thirds here, diminished, and then up, up, all thirds. Right? You can do that in any key. You can hit some chords on the top. You can hit your full chord on the top to get some more harmony. You hear that? So you can do it either way. These are all types of quick little passing movements. Like if you need a quick passing movement, right? That's a really great one. If you have like two or one beats, obviously the example I'm giving you is two full measures. So you got a lot of time, right? So let's just recap the different ways. Now, one last thing I got to tell you guys. You can go up, depending on how much time you have, right? You can go, Bill Evans used to do this all the time, minor. You know, whatever it is. And you could do as, you know, as many different types of rhythmic patterns as you want with these types of movements, however you want. Play around, okay? These are different types of ways you can use this, right? So, now it's getting a little much, right? But I'm just trying to demonstrate the available options, all right? So for your chords, I got to get going here. For your chords, here are the options. Just inversions, right? In your right hand. It's more of a beginner, okay? You're just jumping down to comp. Or you can just stay in the same spot. You can use inversions. You can throw some extensions in there. Okay, you can also use rootless voicings. Okay, any type of voicing you want. If you're comping with a group, right? Okay, the next thing I like to use is my drop twos, right? However you want to use your drop twos, right? These are my diminished, right? I'm now in B flat, okay? And so your diminished approach with your drop twos is another chordal approach. And then the third one I went over, the third or fourth one, I guess-ish, was the outline thirds. And then again, you can go up by half steps. You can go down by half steps. Okay, different rhythms. And again, if you're playing the melody, it's a little harder. You got to time out what type of fill you're going to get in. Sorry, I'm trying to think of, so sometimes, I was going to try and do that. Sometimes, like, you know, if you're trying to do a certain thing and fit it in, right, that's kind of the difficult thing. So stick to being simple. So, right, the simple the better anyway. You're not trying to make it too fancy, right? You don't want to go crazy. So improv is going to be the next thing. Now with improv, a lot of people kind of overplay this. Like they think you need like huge runs and lines. You don't. And most of the time, just to give you an example, the runs or arpeggios are just chordal bass. But that's a lot. Like just to make a full piano arpeggio run to do a fill, you don't need that, and I don't want to teach you that either, okay? So if I have someone playing the melody, let's say a sax is playing the melody, I might do that. Now, there's ways you can do your improv fill, okay? You can do with chords or without. Sometimes you just do without chords. I might just do that. Okay, simplicity is key. Now, people are like, well, Brendan, what improv lines do I play to fill? Literally, you can play any improv line. Like, the better improviser you are, the more you can do. If you're a beginner, stick to beginner stuff. I can literally create a fill, which is so simple. I could do that, right? Now, again, it sounds a little beginner's, but that's okay. I might do that. I might do that. And that's for a more advanced player, right? Clearly. I might do that, right? It doesn't matter. So my point is, it doesn't matter. You can fill, there's no like fill line, okay, that's like, okay, when you fill, you use this improv line. It's any sort of improv that inspires your soul. So you know, it doesn't matter at all. Okay. So again, state your improv approach. And again, there's different ways you can do it. So I was doing single lines. You can do double lines. So if someone has the melody, that's cool. You know, Marcus Roberts does that a lot with Wynton and some of the earlier albums at Blues Alley. He's just playing all double-handed lines. Right? You can do any sort of double line. You can do thirds, right? Just like we talked about, you can improv with thirds. So da 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 da. Anything you want. And again, you can do the double rhythm with your left hand playing the same rhythm. So you'd have the melody, you know. So your chord plays every time your right hand does. Okay, that's another approach. But again, check out different ways, like playing your high register. If the melody's here, you do that. Okay, so I think a lot of people get confused actually on solo piano too. If you're playing solo piano, so if I'm playing solo piano, like how would I comp an improv with this? So again, I jump. So I'll jump. And sometimes you need to blend your improv line into the melody, okay? Or keep it simple enough where you get back to the melody. Right, so always keep it simple enough to get back to the melody right there. I just use the scale. I think I played something like that. Just a B flat Dorian. You can just move up and down the scale. Right, it doesn't matter. So you can move up and down your scale, your mode, right? You can do some movements, some triplets. Again, you can stick with just melodies. Look to create melodies, like melody lines. That's a very nice line. Da 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 dee da. Right? It doesn't have to be all these kind of bebop movements and stuff like that. The simplicity is best. All right. Number two is the improv approach. To filling. Number three is just going to be rhythm. So just rhythmic stuff. Rhythmic stuff any way is a great filler. So if I'm playing solo piano, so just playing the melody on top with rhythmic comps here in my left hand underneath is great. See that? Da-da. Now I can do any sort of rhythms. I love that. You can add the sharp 11 here. Again, you can go crazy. Right? So many different ways. So just think about rhythms. Like, just purely think about rhythms, and you can think about rhythms with chords. You can think about rhythms with improv lines. You can think about rhythms with melodies, anything. It doesn't matter. Think about certain types of rhythms. You can think about long rhythms, short rhythms, fast, lots of rhythms, little bits of rhythms. Like, in between. So I'd go, da, da, two, three, two, ah. Two, three, two, ah. That's a fill. That's a fill right there in itself. Right? So when you take on a rhythmic approach, your mind's going to change. You're going to stop thinking about less notes. Like, you don't, the notes don't really matter because you're going for a certain texture, right? You could just use shells and bass notes. Two, three, four. Right? Just like that. Or you can jump down. You don't have to hold this note. Two, three, four. Right? It doesn't matter. Just shells. You can do a sus chord here. Right? One, two, three, four. See that? Okay, so I'm taking a more rhythmic approach. And again, you can do that with improv lines as well. Right? Dun, 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 dun. And again, if you're playing with a band or not, again, you have to kind of time it out. Okay, so many different ways. So focus on those three ways. They're very, very easy. Chords, improv, right? And then rhythmic approach, where your mind is set and focused on playing some sort of rhythmic stuff. It can be very, very simple voicings or very, very simple lines, all right? And I guarantee you'll create amazing, amazing passing chords. Hope you guys enjoyed.